Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello again and welcome to another episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. We are again on location in the beautiful Hartford, Wisconsin.
That's right.
Home of the Hartford Bulldogs. It is Saturday, April 16th.
You had to check that.
I just had to check it. I didn't know for sure. But Saturday, April 16th, just got done working.
Beautiful day out.
Oh, I put in 6 hours of overtime at work. We had a casting call for kids. 175 kids I photographed today.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
My hair is gray, my voice is practically gone, and I'm ready for a stiff drink.
Kelly, can you get us a stiff drink here?
So, as always, check out the podcast on either iTunes, simply search Cheddarhead, or if you have other ones like Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic. Stitcher, they're all there. Also, I just found out that the podcast awards.
Are we moving up?
Well, you can nominate people for the podcast awards, which are coming up. So go to podcastawards.com and nominate this show for sports, Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast, or for fan choice or fan favorite or something like that.
That'd be awesome.
Be great. But again, check out the podcast on those sites and be sure to subscribe and send us a message. Write a review of the show. Good, bad, we don't care.
Definitely not.
Also, you can check out the website. Everything we talk about today, and I mean everything, because even the stuff that's coming up in the news and notes that with Big Ray, I got the whole video on the website, mycffl.com. That's mycffl.com. Questions, comments, concerns, email us at cfflcommissioner@zoho.com, or you can get Dan at
strap1971@yahoo.com.
There you go. Again, this week, news and notes. We're going to do, last week we did the top 10 quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era. This week, we're going to tackle the top 10 running backs of the Super Bowl era. This was tough because with my rules that I had for myself where you had to actually play in a Super Bowl.
Right. Oh, is that that was one of your rules?
That's one of my rules I have this week. You have to play in a Super Bowl and be worthy of being, you know, one of the top 10 running backs.
I changed my rule around because
a little bit. Yeah, because it was tough.
I feel bad I didn't put Dan Marino in last year since
no, that's horrible.
Or terrible, last week.
Terrible. But I have only my top 8 running backs have played in a Super Bowl, whether win or lose. But so we got that coming up. We also have the top fantasy relevant players available in this year's fantasy draft. So like 4 or 5 quarterbacks, 3 or 4 running backs, 3 or 4 receivers, and where we think where they're going to go to which team. And we'll discuss that because I don't want to be giving away my winning.
Oh, that's right. You don't want to ruin your mock draft for.
That's right. For everybody to just steal and win some cash.
And that's next.
Coming up April 28th, Thursday night, April 28th. So we have 2 weeks for the NFL draft. And as always, we will be at Hooters in Brookfield, Wisconsin. So anybody that feels like they want to come down there, it's a blast. We eat some food, we drink some drinks, and we have some wagering going on. Two things that always happen. You can do the mock draft where you put together your first 31 picks this year because the Patriots, the cheating Patriots, don't get a pick in the first round.
That's right.
So you make your first 31 picks, you get the correct team and the correct player for that pick, and you get a point for each one. So you have a maximum of 62 points out there. The team with the person with the most points wins the pool, and it's $5 per entry.
How many years have we been doing this?
It's been a few.
Quite a few, yeah.
And we were still doing this when we were in Pete's League, weren't we?
I think so.
That might have been when it all started. But
I remember back when we were at my old house and
we'd watching a draft and playing poker when it went six rounds on the first day.
Well, and some guys were playing Madden.
Oh yeah, we were playing Madden when you could make a fantasy team on Madden football. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was a blast.
You used to crush everybody.
Well, I'm that good.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, so we'll have that, and then we also have the quarter game, which is while the draft is going on, you.
Actually, usually the bigger pot, right?
Usually the bigger pot,
unless you
depending on how bad it's going,
right?
But what happens is you make your pick as soon as the team is on the clock. You write down on a piece of paper who you think they're going to take. If you're right, nothing. If you get the wrong player, you put a quarter into the cup.
That's right.
Person with the most correct picks at the end of the first round wins the pot. It's a blast.
It is so much fun.
So. Anybody out there? We even had a listener from the Islamic Republic of Iran this week. We had a download. I don't know what they do for fantasy football over there.
They're more than welcome to show up.
I think show up. Yep, just leave the strap-on bombs at home.
There we go. Yes, that'd be nice.
So that's what we got going. We have that, and we have Fantasy Girl this week. We have a suggestion for a Fantasy Girl, and she is
from a listener.
From Wayne. Wayne suggested a fantasy girl, so we're going to use his because she meets your criteria of being practically in a retirement home. But that's more coming up later. So should we just get to the news?
Yes.
You want to do that? Yeah. All right, let's get this going. So here we are with the news and notes for this week. Just a few things to go over. And if it's all right with you.
Yes.
I want to start with this because it has to do. It's a correlation story. It has to do with the Masters from last weekend. Did you watch any of the final round of the Masters?
I watched a little of the highlights of the final round.
So I want to start with the Masters. And I only bring it up, like I said, because there's a correlation with football in there. Jordan Spieth won the championship last year. Was in first place all week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and he was in first place on Sunday up through like the 10th hole.
Where are you going with
leading by six or seven strokes going into the 12th hole on Sunday, and then he either choked or collapsed. I guess it all depends on how you define the words. He started playing like me.
There you go.
when he had a quadruple bogey on the 12th hole.
By the way, that's not you. I mean,
yeah, I'd be more like a snowman.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that would be a snowman.
Well, yeah, I guess it would be. Yeah.
But he ended up losing the tournament in spectacular fashion. So why do I bring this up in a football podcast?
Yes. Why?
Well, after the tournament was over, Jordan hung around and answered all the questions of reporters. Did the press conference circuit and acted like an adult. He's 22 years old. 22. Now you contrast that with the 26-year-old Cam Newton, who couldn't be bothered to answer questions after a Super Bowl loss in February.
Oh, please let it go.
Basically, this was a long way
Wait a minute. Now, I want to stop you before you get any further, because I did hear he was kind of a dink.
Well, he was dink about himself, though. He was called himself a dink.
Well, who else is there to call him?
No one else.
It's his own problem.
I mean, he could have blamed the caddy, but he didn't blame himself.
Well, I think, I heard something on Bob and Brian that he said
we collapsed. It is a team sport, from what I understand.
This was such a long stretch.
It was a long way to go to show how I've been right about a protected baby Cam Newton getting away with acting like a petulant child.
Let it go.
Instead of the adult that he claims to be. Next.
Okay,
speaking of petulant children. Johnny Manziel had a sit-down meeting with the Denver Broncos head coach Gary Kubiak about possibly becoming a Denver Bronco. Kubiak said there is no immediate plan to sign Manziel, and that if it would happen, it wouldn't happen for a couple months. The Broncos want to wait and see what happens with all of Manziel's legal problems from this past year, and whether or not there is any league suspension from his past year's antics. What do you think the chances are that Manziel ends up as a Bronco?
Manziel is done. With everything, done? Have you heard all the other stories?
Oh, I got the other story all, coming okay. up. Oh, yeah.
All, I mean, there's like two or three.
So you think he's just completely done?
I just don't think he's going to turn his life around. I think he's going
to
end up
done.
One day, or not
he's
even
living off of daddy's oil money.
And he's just going to be dead one day, I think.
And continue to be speaking of troubled young sports stars. It looks like all those team owners who thought they would take a chance and pick up Josh Gordon during the season last year in hopes that he'd be reinstated for this season might be wasting their time, or do you think he'll still be back this year?
I think he'll still be back, but my question would be to you, if he gets reinstated in August,
mm-hmm.
is he worth anything in the draft? Or don't you want to give out too much information?
No, I
is this where you're gonna,
I just can't draft him. I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot draft him because I can't count on him.
You've said that before, though. Well, when you drafted him.
But things change.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there is nothing that could change that would make me draft Josh Gordon.
10th round. He's still there.
Nope, won't take him. Because let's say he gets reinstated in August.
Right.
He's going to miss a couple games just getting back to.
Well, he should get.
Because he can't do anything until August, until he gets reinstated.
Right. But he, I mean,
the only workout he's been doing is lifting his college bong.
But isn't he playing
allegedly
with his former quarterback in college?
Is he playing with his former? I don't know.
I
is
thought
he?
He's from Baylor, too.
So who's throwing the ball to him?
I don't. I'm sorry, my wife. Yeah.
No, it's her. But I just don't. I will not be able to draft him. Will not. Just telling you that right now. That you can put down in stone. He will not be a member of the Cape Girardeau Rush. But reports have it that Gordon is looking at yet another suspension for failing league-imposed drug test last month. Now, when I started writing these news articles, I always thought that the rule stated that after your third failed drug test, you're suspended for life. But you're mentioning that that's different.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That it's they're trying to get Gordon back, giving Gordon another chance to get back in.
Yet another chance.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, after you mentioned that, I did do some research.
Okay.
And it turns out the NFL rule regarding illegal drug use, however, the one thing you know is NFL will not punish for marijuana the same way it does other drugs,
right,
is what their things say. According to the NFL policy, it takes 5 failed drug tests for marijuana once the player enters stage 2. So this is after the first stage. So once they enter stage 2, it takes 5 failed drug tests in order for that player to be suspended for a year. Then the player enters stage 3, which only keeps him out of the league for 2 years rather than life. So wow. I'm glad to see that the NFL is serious about drug abuse.
So
for all the talking.
So you're saying
there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Yeah, he could be testing positive for God knows how many years. Again, so if let's say he gets reinstated in August. When in August, I guess, is where it starts. When will he be able to be even brought up for reinstatement? When in August? Because, I mean, August, the beginning of August is when the first preseason game is.
Well, don't you think they're going to look into it right away, though? And
why don't can they look into, or do you think they're looking into it now and they're just going to wait for him to be?
Well, from what I understand, they're still going to, from now until August, they're going to be checking his
PP?
His PP.
So it all comes down to him being smart enough to
stay off the
put
hooch.
Down the wacky weed. So Gordon has technically been in the league for 4 years. Of those 4 years,
1 year was awesome.
He has only played a season,
one
a full season in his first year.
Yep.
The other three, he had missed most or all the season due to drug suspension.
When we finally get poll questions in our little mm-hmm. thing here, my one poll question is for you. Who's got a better chance of playing in the NFL this year?
Okay.
Josh Gordon
okay.
or Johnny Manziel?
Oh, Josh Gordon.
You think Johnny Manziel's?
I think Johnny Manziel's done. I don't think there's a team that's going to take a chance on him because his problems. Now, marijuana is an illegal drug,
right?
But we just have a problem with Josh Gordon where he can't handle, or he's just too dumb to not know when he needs to get off the chronic time for his drug tests.
But can't you just give it up for just the football season? I mean, how difficult is that?
I agree. I mean, it shouldn't be a problem, especially with the money he's throwing away. The thing with Johnny Manziel is that it's not even because Johnny Manziel.
He just can't.
Yeah, he's in trouble again.
Oh,
but that again, that's coming up.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, so Josh Gordon has failed the league drug test 4 times now.
He's. I don't know how to go over it again. I just put it down.
All right, next one up. The sun has shined brightly on LeSean McCoy after his beatdown of police officers at a nightclub with his buddies this last offseason. Only an NFL player would be able to get away with beating up a cop and not having charges whatsoever filed against him. On top of that, the league has said that it is unlikely that McCoy will face any league discipline either.
Do you think, obviously, a lot more happened that night than what they're releasing out there, right?
But what would have to happen, because we know because of the video, a cop got beat down.
Okay.
Or one or two cops.
But they haven't, no one's ever said who threw the first punch.
That doesn't matter. These are cops that got beat down.
Yeah, but it's not like they were, like, in uniform, though. These were undercover, or not undercover, they were off-duty police officers.
But I had asked that question, too, because, I don't know if I should even bring this up.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember, because it's a Wisconsin thing, do you remember when that male cop, or I don't know if he was a cop, but a guy shot a woman firefighter, right?
Yep.
And she wasn't on duty. But they put her into, like, some special memorial for dead firefighters.
Right.
And I'm like, well, wait. I thought that was for firefighters that die on the call while on duty. And they said she was on her way to work, so she was technically on duty.
Okay,
you're on duty once you punch in. Oh no, firefighters are always punched in.
That's right, they are.
So same for cops.
Well. I think
cops can arrest people in their street clothes.
Right. But I'm also saying it's not like they were on their way to work, though.
No.
Were they just stopping at the nightclub
But if Officer Friendly on a Saturday weekend, not on duty, runs into like a robbery or something, he can still arrest Perpetrator Joe. Even if he's not on duty or in his officer clothes.
Right, but hypothetically, that would give a cop a right just to walk down the street and
play Johnny Law.
Yeah, or just punch anybody in the face if they wanted to.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean.
Or swig from their champagne bottle.
Yeah, or say whatever you can imagine he might have said to LeSean McCoy and his cohorts. I don't know. I
always come down on the side of the cops, though.
Well, I would say I would agree with that. But
remember,
I'm just saying,
that, officers, I'm on your side.
Yeah, as you drive home today, back into the ghetto. No, I obviously, though, I can't imagine they would let him get off if there wasn't.
Yeah, I believe the attorney general is still looking at it, though. So I don't know what's going on. It's like the story changes all the time.
Well, I don't.
Okay. Next up, my favorite story of the day. Well, it's now become my second favorite. It was my favorite until I got the Johnny Manziel thing, which is coming up. Ray Lewis.
Oh, God.
Ray Lewis has found time to make an 8-minute video where he lights up the Black Lives Matter groupies and is complaining about black-on-black violence. Let's listen to a bit of this diatribe, shall we?
March murder rate rose by 29%, but we're not riding in the streets when black-on-black crime are killing each other. I'm trying to figure out how the month of March, there's more murders in the month of March in Chicago than there are days in the month. 45 murders in the month of Chicago. There was 271 shooting incidents. I'm trying to stop to ask this one simple thing. When will we appreciate who we are?
What?
I just want to stay out of this one.
You're afraid of where I'm going?
I am always afraid of where you're going to go with this.
I'm going to save you the time.
Okay.
I'm not going to play the whole 8 minutes.
Okay, good.
But I'm going to tell you, it starts off with, I'm here in my prayer room. Okay? But if you want to listen to the whole 8 minutes, you can easily do a search. It's all over YouTube. It's all over everywhere. And I even have it up on the website on the front page, mycffl.com. There's a video there.
You said, I'm here in my prayer room.
I'm here in my prayer room. Wait till you see the video.
I can only imagine.
He's got the camera looking up at his crotch, and it's Ray Lewis' crotch.
Not to take this in a religious thing way or whatever,
it's
but
a football thing.
Well, right, but but somebody needs to tell Ray Lewis he doesn't need a prayer room. I mean, he must have a lot of FU money that he can have a specific room in his house for.
When you see the video, his prayer room is basically
a closet,
a den.
Oh, okay. So it's not really your prayer room.
It might be where his white suit from the perpetrator actions that him and his buddies were. Might be where it's hidden, but I'm just assuming.
Okay,
it's allegedly. Needless to say, what you heard, the rest of the video is like 7+ more minutes of what you just heard. Ray Lewis talking in circles.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Now don't get me
wrong. And not saying anything.
It's tough because I actually commend Ray Lewis for standing up to the Black Lives Matter crowd.
Right.
The problem that I have is that it's really hard to take him seriously when everyone knows the troubled past of Ray Lewis.
Right.
Does he seriously think that everyone has forgotten about his involvement in the killing of two black men? Wouldn't that also...
I know you've never forgotten.
I haven't, no. But wouldn't that be considered black-on-black crime?
Yeah.
Two guys died and no one was charged or convicted of the crime. Ray Lewis got away with simply pleading guilty to obstruction of justice.
Didn't Ray Ray's boys get...
Got away, too.
Oh, they did get away, mm-hmm. too. Okay.
If he did nothing wrong, what justice was he obstructing and why did he plead guilty to that? They still haven't found the white suit that Ray Lewis was wearing. I think it's in his prayer room.
Okay.
On the night of those men's deaths.
Okay.
The other part of the video that boggles my mind, and I'm sure you heard it while you were listening, but who got inside Ray Lewis? Is he trying to become like some kind of a Southern Baptist preacher?
Yeah, but he's been in this prayer room a few other times too.
But talking like a preacher at church?
Oh, you've obviously haven't watched the...
And I think he says the word axe like 4 times.
You never watched that 30 for 30 or the pro football...
Is he trying to become Reggie White?
Yeah, he's been trying to do that forever.
Spooky, settle down.
What's he doing?
This is what happens when you record a podcast with
a dog.
With a dog. When you start talking about crime, he gets jealous.
That's right.
So the NFL schedule came out this past Thursday. The teams, there's two teams tied with the toughest schedule in the NFL. You want to take a guess?
Probably Carolina.
Nope.
Two teams with the toughest schedule.
One's in the NFC South. One's in the NFC West.
Ooh, Tampa?
Nope. Atlanta Falcons.
Really?
And the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
The team with the easiest schedule, and this is all, you know, according to last year's stats, is? The Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers have the easiest schedule in the NFL. You know, but again, that's all according to last year.
And we're going to go over that, right?
Well, you know what? I want to know why. First of all, I'm pissed that they got bye week on week 4.
I know. That's
the first week of the byes.
That is the worst time to have a bye week.
But the other thing is, When was the last time that an NFL team had four home games?
Right.
In a row.
Yeah, it doesn't usually never happens for the
oh my god
the Packers. Usually they get three or twice where they get three away games in
and
a row.
Some of the people talking about this were saying that this was the NFL, you know, because they start on the road for four games, right, or three?
Three.
And they open up, they play the first game of in the history of the new Minnesota Stadium. The second game of the season is the opening of the Minnesota Stadium.
Yep.
Then they open against Jacksonville, and then it's Minnesota, and I don't remember who they play next.
Then they're at home against the Lions, I'm sorry. So they're not, they don't have three. They go
There's got to be four games in a row, though.
Yeah, they're two away, and then four games at home.
Okay.
With a bye week so, in the middle.
So 5 weeks, they're going to be
wow,
not out of the state of Wisconsin. And if you look at it, they have a very short travel itinerary. They don't go that far for any of their games. They should have a pretty easy season, theoretically.
Theoretically, no one is gets, what you're hoping. So,
as long as they can keep some of their first string receivers going.
Wow.
Other little stats, the Packers are tied with the Steelers for the most primetime games for this season at five. They have one Monday night game. Was it three Thursday games and one Sunday game, I believe?
Yeah, I think. Yep, I got three. Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
But, yeah, I'm kind of excited. You know, whether they have like a 3-hour special on TV when the schedule came out on Thursday.
And did you watch it?
Oh, I had to turn it off though when the two guys were up there and they were going through the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule and they were doing the win lose thing where they go through each game and they say which games are going to win or lose. How the hell was that just a reason to waste 5 minutes?
Who has that much time, though,
to sit there and say, oh, no, I see them winning this game, but the next time they play that team, they're going to lose. Like, you got to be kidding me. You don't even know who's going to be on what team.
Well, what injuries are going to happen throughout the year.
Who would have thought that the Carolina Panthers were going to win 16 games or 15 games like last year?
Not you.
Anybody. I would love to see this little win-loss thing that they do all the time. And just go over that and for the Panthers last year. There's no way they would have had them 15-1.
I think I had them having a winning record, didn't I?
Well, winning record, yes. But you never even thought they would win 15 games. No,
that's practically impossible every year for every team.
And finally, this story comes from the New York Post, and it's so delicious. I'm going to read it to you verbatim because I don't think you'll believe me otherwise. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Call it a case of affluenza. Rich kid quarterback Johnny Manziel is facing more questions about alcohol and drug use after he threw a wild party at a rented L.A. house where he and his friends allegedly caused $32,000 in damage. Manziel, who comes from a Texas oil family and whose NFL future is in peril, no shit, rented a house in West Hollywood for 2 days last week with a pal. The pair's said to have thrown two all-night ragers that prompted neighbors, including comic Kathy Griffin, to call the police.
Wow.
It's claimed Manziel and his group left the house strewn with booze and drugs, broke an expensive glass table and a bathroom door, and left wine stains and cigarette burns on carpets. Pictures obtained by Page Six show lines of suspicious white powder on a table and an open bag of what is claimed to be magic mushrooms.
Ooh.
Where else can this story go? Johnny Manziel, everyone's All-American.
Well,
that's why I say he's done. He's not going to be. I mean, this is after he just got released. I mean, this is just a couple days ago that this happened.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to come up with the other story where
living with Von Miller?
Well, that one too, but I can't find it right now, but he was involved in a hit and run. He wasn't the driver.
Oh, and Josh Gordon picked him up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. I didn't know if that was a, I didn't put that in there because I didn't know if that was an, I didn't read the whole thing, but I didn't know if that was a new story or if that was old.
It seemed like it was a fairly new story because Josh Gordon picked him up, I know. It was his friend who...
driving the car?
Yeah, was driving the car. He was allegedly. And they hit something and they both ran away and Josh...
Oh, my goodness.
Josh picked him up.
That's amazing.
Why? Just put the stuff down.
Just grow up. Not even put the stuff down. You know, drink... Well, I suppose once you, if you're that bad, you can't drink responsibly.
Oh, no.
It's just not possible.
Once you start drinking, you got to keep drinking.
Is that from knowledge?
That's just from knowledge back way back when.
So this was a you know, now that I listened back to it, this wasn't a fun week of news and notes. It's a lot of bad stories out there.
Yeah, maybe we should have done that when we were doing...
When we're doing the all-crime team?
Yeah, the all-crime team.
Well, if all these things would have happened back then, we could have.
Didn't we have a story, too, again, Monty Ball?
Oh, I heard about that. Monty Ball got picked up for something.
Yeah,
he?
Where was he? He wasn't
Monty
down in Whitewater. He got picked up.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't draft him.
I want to take that helmet I have downstairs that I had autographed from the Super Bowl. Remember that?
Yeah.
I feel like I should throw that away now.
I have one other question that just came to my mind when you were talking Monty Ball and Packers could have had him type thing. Eddie Lacy.
Yes.
So the word is that he's lost all kinds of weight and he's got all kinds of his muscle from the P90X thing.
Right.
Are you or are you not concerned that he may have gone too far?
That's what I would agree. He's gonna tweak something because he's not too only tight.
I don't know about too tight. I'm just worried about he's not gonna have the bulk to run the way he runs.
Yeah, but what if he got a little more speed and then that little spin move that he does all the time when he runs, whether he needs to spin or not? He just, just
does it because it's the B button move.
Exactly. B, 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 B.
Well, I'm just concerned that he might have slimmed down a little bit too much. I mean, he looks good. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, don't worry. He'll start chewing on his
gummy bears
again.
All right. Well, okay. I'm holding out hope, but I'm worried. I'm worried. So that's it for the news and notes, unless you have anything else that came up on your feed.
No, nothing.
All right. Well, let's get into the top draft pick fantasy relevant running backs and positions in this year's draft, shall we?
Sounds good.
All right. And we're back with the top draft picks available. Of course, these are all fantasy relevant positions. And probably just start with quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed because I spent a lot of time looking over the draft and putting all this stuff together. And the day I got my list complete, the Rams go and trade.
Can we talk about that quick?
I believe the Rams gave up way too much.
I agree.
These were all a bunch of picks they still had left from the RG3 trade, I believe.
Do they have more than... Because I saw they gave up 2 second-round picks this year.
No, they gave up a first and a third next year.
Right, but they gave up a first, 2 seconds, and a third this year.
Yeah, but they got some back from Tennessee.
Well, I would hope so. Otherwise, they gave up a ton.
Carson should be, because you think it's going to be Carson Wentz, right?
Well,
they're not going to draft it, move up while that paying off to draft a guy with small hands.
Well, it's the way I have it now. I think it is leaning more towards Goff.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because you with me, you think Carson Wentz is going to be a bust?
No.
I'm thinking
when
Ryan.
When you say bust, how bad bust?
A Ryan Leaf-esque.
Oh, no.
No?
No. He's not. I mean, Ryan Leaf's a...
Yeah, but Ryan Leaf at least played in Division I.
Yeah, but...
Carson, they don't even know how to say the word bison.
What about Joe Flacco?
They don't even know how to say the word bison in North Dakota. What? Where is there a Z in that word? Right?
That's right.
God. But, so... Before this trade, I mean, obviously Tennessee wasn't going to take a quarterback.
Oh, they are going to be so loaded.
Do you think Do you think that Cleveland is going to take one at two? Do you think the first two picks are going to be quarterbacks?
I think they're going to, if Wentz is going to be there at two, I think they'll take Wentz.
You think so? So if it goes Goff, you think Cleveland will take Wentz?
Yeah, and I think it's the stupidest move they could make.
And if Rams take Wentz, do you think Cleveland takes Goff, or do you think they fill a need that they actually have?
I think they should fill a need that they have. I think they're going to trade out.
Because they just have too many of them. Right. Yeah, see, that's what I would do.
I just don't know anybody else that's going to trade up to Cleveland. But I'm also shocked that the Rams
When I was looking this over, there are other teams out there that need quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, you got, where did I have this? San Francisco?
Right.
Would you think Chip Kelly would? Because wasn't Chip Kelly trying to move up to number one? From what I understood,
really,
yeah. And the Eagles.
Who does Chip want?
Well, I think Chip wanted either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. And from what I was reading, he was wanting Carson Wentz,
right?
Because he fits his little game plan system.
Okay,
Can run the ball, can throw, can.
He is an evil genius.
He is an evil genius. But so let's say, because I think what's going to happen is I think the rest of the teams are going to sit around and wait.
Right.
And see what happens.
Lynch or
unless
Cook.
They hear. Or they're going to sit and wait and see who the Rams are going to take. Because if they take, because I can see Philadelphia trying to move up to two.
Boy, what would
if,
that take?
If Rams take Goff.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what it would take.
If the Rams, yeah.
Because the Eagles aren't picking that far down.
But with the quarterbacks, you're thinking Goff though is NFL ready now.
I don't think any of the four.
You don't think any of them are?
I don't think any of them are ready.
Well, I think Goff.
I don't think you're hearing me say this right now. I don't think Mariota or Winston were NFL ready last year.
But they both played very well.
They played very well, but remember David Carr? Remember Ryan Leaf?
I would agree with that, but the Rams have a pretty good offensive line.
They're going to need one. But I don't know. Seriously, North Dakota State, going from North Dakota State to the NFL, you can do that in some of the Division I schools.
Well, and
Division II.
Right, but Joe Flacco played right away, didn't he? Wish I did my research on that.
Yeah, but, I mean, even from Delaware. Yeah. Is the Delaware Division II?
I thought it was, Delaware State, right?
No, Delaware.
Was it wasn't just Delaware? Okay.
Yeah. He was a blue hen.
I thought I heard that on the radio the other day that Carson Wentz was compared to Joe Flacco. And I'm assuming that was because.
Small school guy?
Small school guy.
I don't know. But
I don't think he's going to be a bust in the way that he's out of the league after two or three years. I think he could be another David Carr. If you think David Carr was a bust. Mm-hmm. I mean, David Carr hung on for a long time and played with a lot of different teams as backups.
Yeah, as a backup. Kind of like Doug Peterson and all that.
Yeah.
But so here's the way I see it. If the Rams take Carson Wentz, I think you have the Philadelphia Eagles that are going to try and move up to
get Goff.
To get Goff.
Wow.
If the Rams take Goff, then I think 49ers are going to try and move up to take Wentz.
Where'd you get this?
That's just what I'm thinking. Okay. Because from everything I was reading about Goff, that Doug Peterson loves him and for his system that he wants to try and run.
So who are you rooting for then? Are you rooting?
I'm not rooting for. Well,
do you want Chip Kelly to end up with Wentz, or do you?
I'm not. It doesn't matter to me either way.
Oh,
I think both of the guys. You're giving up way too much to get either one of them.
That's what I can't wait to see. after the draft what Tennessee did with all the, those picks.
Oh man,
they're going. They better get some offensive linemen. Yeah, I mean they should get some offensive linemen because
Tennessee was going to take that offensive lineman at number one.
Right, and they
Laremy Tunsil. The only thing is he's not going to be down there where they're picking now.
Yeah, but they're still going to get a good offensive lineman, I think, with that 15th pick or the wide receiver that I think.
Oh, man, another wide receiver.
Oh, they need wide receiver.
No, but I'm just saying.
Oh. They need to surround
Mariota.
He's going to
make me
want to
keep Mariota.
Yeah, you're not going to keep Mariota.
Well, if I can get rid of some of those other guys, I might.
Speaking of it, oh, no.
Now the Rams are at number one. The possibility of either Philly pulling off moves to move up to number one, obviously more prone to pick go up to number two. So you're looking at 49ers and Eagles are both picking number seven for the 49ers and eight for the Eagles.
Right.
So Cleveland wouldn't move down that far. So I don't know how much more it would take. The only other team I think that those two would have to be worried about picking before them would be San Diego.
Right.
Because could you picture San Diego taking Jared Goff, being the California boy, just to sit for a year or two behind Phillip Rivers until he finally sidearms his way out of the league?
Wow, I didn't see that one coming.
Well, I'm just kind of looking at who's picking between all these guys.
I could only see San Diego taking a quarterback.
Maybe later.
If somebody fell to them, you know, kind of like the Packers.
Yeah, but isn't San Diego picking...
The Packers weren't going to draft Aaron Rodgers in the first round until he fell.
Right, until they got Golden Horseshoe up their butt.
Right.
But where does San Diego pick? I thought they picked before 7 or 8. You have that available?
I think I...
Dallas, Jacksonville, Baltimore, they're not going to pick. They pick ahead of the Niners and the Eagles. They won't be looking to take a quarterback, right?
Right.
So the other team below...
Oh, San Diego's at 3. They're not going to take a quarterback at 3.
You don't think so?
Oh, no.
If Goff falls to them?
If they do, they're crazy.
Okay.
They got a chance to win now with the team they have, I think.
So then let's say I'm just completely wrong and the 49ers or Eagles don't take a quarterback, either moving up or staying where they are.
Right.
And Goff falls past 8.
Ooh. Okay.
Or you don't think if Goff is there at 7 or 8, you think he's gone to either the Eagles or the 49ers.
Right.
Or Wentz.
Yeah, I think the quarterbacks are going to go top 5.
Okay, two other teams then do you think that would move up? Chicago at 11 or the Jets at 20?
Wow, I don't know. I don't know if any of those teams are going to move up to
Get a quarterback that they can get another one just like them later on.
Because they are kind of...
Because Paxton Lynn should be there at both 11 and... Well, he will be there at both 11 and 20 if they really want a quarterback. Because here's the thing, and we talk about the rich getting richer. I think if Paxton Lynch lasts till 31, Denver takes him.
Oh, I think... Well, if Paxton Lynch lasts that... Yeah, to 31. If the Cardinals don't take him, I think.
Oh, I forgot about the Cardinals.
I mean, they're in desperate need.
Yeah, because Carson is.
I can see that be
done.
Like the whole thing of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, shoot, I completely forgot about Carson.
Or what about the Chiefs?
Well, I guess it all depends. I don't know enough about what Alex Smith has left in him. You know?
Yeah, but. I mean, you were talking about Chicago, and I mean, is Alex Smith that much better than Jake Cutler? Jay Cutler?
Well, he's younger, isn't he? Or no?
I don't know.
Maybe not. Or the same year?
I wouldn't say they're the same year because that'd be the Aaron Rodgers year.
But Alex Smith has played less.
Oh, way less. Yeah.
Here's my thing again. This is the whole rich getting richer thing. Out of those three quarterbacks, I think Paxton Lynch is the best of the three.
Really?
Write it down. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
I left the bell at home. I told you I got a new bell for our bets, right?
I know. I can't wait.
Damn. Paxton Lynch, my favorite of those three guys.
See, I have Paxton Lynch going I got three teams written down. Oh, four. Sorry. Broncos, Chiefs, Cardinals, and the Jets.
Okay. So that's kind of the same. I completely forgot about the Cardinals. I wasn't even thinking about that. There's only one other quarterback that would kind of maybe, let's say Paxton Lynch goes earlier than, you know, 31. There might be a team that would trade up to Denver's spot possibly. And let's say Cleveland passes on a quarterback.
Okay.
I could see Cleveland coming back in and making a deal with Denver at 31 to take Connor Cook out of Michigan State.
I could see that too, yeah.
Ideal NFL quarterback size that will allow, allow him to take punishment.
Sorry.
No, that's right. Yeah, he's currently slotted at the 39 position, which would put him right at the top of the second round anyway.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And if one of the other teams other than Denver takes Paxton Lynch before Denver's pick, you may, this is where I think you may see a team moving up to Denver's position to take Connor Cook.
Yeah, I could see the muscle just staying. I mean, Cleveland, so that'd be what, 33, 34?
Cleveland would be 33.
I could see them just staying where they are.
And then and, getting them then.
And just take Cook then. Or
if Paxton's gone, I can't imagine Denver taking Connor Cook.
No.
And, of course, Tennessee won't. Yeah, they might stay.
Well, and why would, if Denver gets...
Unless Denver Kaepernick plays a game with them and says, well, hey, we're going to take Connor Cook if unless you want him. You have to move up here to get him.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Connor Cook the guy that you want to reach up and get or
but,
go up and
but
get?
But think about it. I mean, you got RG3.
Right.
Right. He, assuming he can stay alive, he should play a couple years. Again, all four of these guys need some time on the bench.
Right.
I mean, it's spooky to think about this, but, you know.
I oh, you had to go. All right.
Let's move on to running backs.
Yes.
Unfortunately for the running backs in this year's draft, I only see one of them going in the first round.
I have two.
You do?
Yes.
I don't even think it's going to be the best running back of the bunch either that goes first.
Who do you think is the best running back of the bunch?
You're going to say, oh, of course. But I think it's a guy out of Alabama. I think it's Derrick Henry.
Okay.
But I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to be the guy that goes number one of the running backs.
Would be the first, yeah. And where do you have Ezekiel going?
Now, I've seen mock drafts where the Dolphins trade up to Philadelphia Eagles spot at number eight to draft Elliott.
Okay.
I've also seen mock drafts that simply have the Dolphins drafting him at their original position at 13. And I've even seen ones where they have the Bears take him at 11.
The Bears?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I was, and here's the thing, on the way here, I was listening to another podcast talking about how you should not make any calls on your keeper players if you have either Jeremy Langford or the running back. No, I'm totally serious. Yeah. The running back, because it's also my running back, the guy from Oakland. Because if either one of those teams take Ezekiel Elliott.
Oakland's not taking Ezekiel Elliott.
I didn't think so either, but this is what they're talking.
Well, they just got Chris Ivory and they have Latavius Murray. I mean,
right.
Why would they take Ezekiel Elliott?
Okay, so I'm safe there with Latavius?
You're
I think.
My...
All right. But yeah. they're saying that the possibility that could go to Chicago. I don't think he's going to last past Dallas. I think he's going four. There's no way Dallas is taking Joey Bosa.
No. Wow. I could. That would be really good for Dallas if they could get.
Well, it'd be good for Ezekiel, too. I mean, you're talking about the Dallas offensive line. Best in football, right?
Right.
And.
But wouldn't you think that's where I would think Derrick Henry would look so much better?
Well, I do too. I just, God, I hope you're right. I would love to see Derrick Henry in Dallas.
Oh, I like to see Derrick Henry as their running back more than Ezekiel. I don't think Ezekiel Elliott fits there.
Well, they're saying, you know, this is again the scouts. They're saying that he can block, he can catch, and he can run. And you put him behind that offensive line in Dallas, he's supposedly supposed to be stud. And I mean, you think about it. I mean, you got a hurt quarterback,
right?
Who you don't even know if he can throw the ball anymore. And obviously, Darren McFadden isn't the answer.
No, definitely not.
I'm not an Ezekiel Elliott fan. It goes against my whole Big Ten thing.
Okay, so but, if Ezekiel goes to Dallas at 4,
mm-hmm.
where in fantasy football do you think he gets drafted?
Well, are you talking in a regular or an hour draft?
In our draft.
Where we keep three players, we keep three keepers.
Right.
I think he's a first rounder.
Top five?
Okay, I'm going to tell you something right now. As much as I hate Big Ten running backs, as much as I hate Big Ten running backs from Ohio State, if he's at 11, I'm taking him. He won't be at 11.
No, because
you pick before me, right?
I wouldn't. If he goes to Dallas, he's not going by me at 7. I think that's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, there you go. So 7 or better.
But does Henry have the...
Henry has number 1 pick.
I know. Does he have
the balls to take him?
Take him at 1? The only way I see Henry not...
It all depends on who gets cut. It all right. depends on if players can... If Wayne can make a trade...
Right.
And get rid of Le'Veon Bell, which he seems to be impossible to do.
He's so difficult to deal with.
Well, not even difficult to deal with, but, you know, I'm trying to trade away players who are arguably better than Le'Veon Bell.
Where are you going?
I'm offering...
What you talking about, Willis?
I'm offering a Latavius Murray. I'm offering a Rob Gronkowski. I'm offering a Randall Cobb.
Okay, Gronkowski I can see.
I can't even get bites on those guys.
No one, don't even get me started.
And I don't know if it's just too early or if it's just no one's thinking about it, but, and I'm asking for a lot less than what Wayne's asking for Le'Veon.
Yeah, Latavius makes me nervous because Chris Ivory's there.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to help you out on that one. Right. But you have no one that's Le'Veon Bell's character or.
Well.
Or talent, I mean.
Oh, man. So let's say Ezekiel goes to Dallas. Let's just play that game.
Okay.
There's going to be teams just giddy that Derrick Henry's going to fall in their lap. You know, think like when the Packers drafted Eddie Lacy in the second. Didn't they move up to get him?
Yeah. Yeah, they did move up to get him in the second round.
Oh, my God.
I could see if Ezekiel doesn't go to Dallas, could you see him in Baltimore?
Where's Baltimore picked? They're pretty high too, right?
Two picks after Dallas.
Oh yeah. I don't think he gets past Baltimore. Past the fifth pick.
Sixth pick? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think in San Francisco, Philly are wanting one of the quarterbacks.
Right, and I think whichever one doesn't get a quarterback. The other one's going to go defense or O-line.
And this all could change because...
Oh, of course. I mean, there's 2 weeks. There could be a bunch of trades made yet. Some guy could test positive for drugs.
Who do you think, though?
I don't know. But my sleeper running back, do you have one?
Nope.
My sleeper running back, Louisiana Tech,
but
Kenneth Dixon.
Oh, Dixon.
Yeah.
What kind of back is he?
Well, he's big boy.
Ooh.
He's number 4 ranked overall and projected to be drafted in the second round. They compare him to
Eddie Lacy.
David Johnson.
God, love David Johnson.
And that turned out to be pretty good for the Arizona Cardinals. But there you go. That's the guy that, depending on where he goes, he may be a Cape Girardeau Rush. We're all wide receivers, unless you got something else to say about running backs.
Nope. Well, you didn't say where you thought Derrick Henry would go.
I think that if, like I said, I think there's only going to be one running back in the first round. And I think whoever gets Ezekiel Elliott, the rest will wait till later on.
I have two surprise spots where I think Derrick Henry could go.
You think somebody's going to move up to take him?
Nope.
Where?
I think he's going to fall late in the first round.
Okay.
Denver? You don't have him going in the first round, right?
No.
No.
No, I think I only have Ezekiel or one of them, either Derrick or, well, let's say Derrick Henry does go first. Then there'll be two running backs in the first.
Right. Okay. Well, I have Derrick Henry falling to two teams that are going to shock you. One would be Seattle.
Well, that wouldn't shock me.
Because I think he'd fit well in their offense. And right. You could have Thomas Rawls more
Can you imagine
change of pace.
Derrick Henry. God, I hate Seattle. I couldn't, but Jesus.
And then the other team is the other team you hate.
Denver?
The Panthers. I could see.
Oh, because Jonathan Stewart
has never stayed healthy and didn't really stay healthy this year.
And that would be number 30.
I mean, that's just getting the best available player, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it all depends on how the rest of the draft goes ahead of them.
Right. Well, yeah.
But
or who might fall far.
Wow. Don't scare me like that. So on to wide receivers, and this is going to be the big position, I think, in the first round. I have four, maybe five receivers going off the board in round one.
I have four.
Okay. My favorite of all the receivers may actually be the first guy off the board.
Going to?
Well, I was going to say, well, here's I didn't look into this before, but if the Rams don't move up to grab a quarterback in some sort of trade with Cleveland, which turned out to be Tennessee, I was looking for them to take Corey Coleman out of Baylor. Love.
Oh, the Rams at 15. Okay.
Yeah,
if they were. Well, could you see Tennessee doing that?
Going down to 15?
Well, they're at
15.
Oh,
God, that would be sweet.
So you like Corey Coleman better than Treadwell?
Yeah, better than Laquon Treadwell.
Okay.
Yeah. Treadwell, the guy out of Mississippi, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I do, only because Treadwell's a skinny little boy. Think Randy Moss without the talent.
I was going to say, when you first said Randy Moss, I'm like, that's pretty good company to be in.
Yeah. See, this is all going to be, I don't see Cleveland taking a receiver at number two, but I would think they're going to take a receiver too. But I would have thought they would have taken it moving down to a deal with the Rams, but that's all going to be different now.
Well, what about Dolphins taking a wide receiver? Is that a team that you have taken a wide receiver?
I have Will Fuller from Notre Dame. I have him going to Houston.
Okay.
Imagine him and DeAndre. And if Treadwell's still there when Houston picks, they'll take Treadwell.
Well, I don't see Treadwell falling that far down. I have Treadwell going to the Lions because with the retirement of Kelvin Johnson.
And they're also talking possibly Minnesota taking a receiver.
Oh.
Because it's just what they need. Well, Detroit's going to need a receiver now that Kelvin's gone.
What about the Bengals? They could use a...
Oh, because they lost one of their guys too, didn't they?
They lost like two. They lost Sanu and Marvin Jones in free agency.
Wow. Well, there might be five gone. But my fourth guy is the guy out of TCU, Josh Doctson.
What do you got on him? Or you don't have really...
I am as my fourth receiver. The only problem with him, and he's still nursing an injury apparently, and it's all going to depend on what the scouts and teams think. I like him. I like him like Corey Coleman because of the offenses they played in. They're talking he's a Jordan Matthews type guy that they compare him to Jordan Matthews.
Well, then the obvious spot for him is in Kansas City.
Well, they're saying that either 23 or 24 to the Vikings or the Bengals for Doctson. So,
wow.
But you're going to like this, that guy from Mississippi, Laquon Treadwell.
Yep.
They're comparing him to Dez Bryant.
I got a Dez Bryant. Anyway.
I know.
And well, we want to
somebody might want him, huh?
There you go.
But, yeah, that's all I have. So there's my four guys. I don't even – it's hard to have sleepers because, you know, I didn't watch the
– Well, and there's going to be so many more trades and stuff on draft day
yeah.
that are going to happen.
It's tough to do this, which is why the $5 for the mock draft at the draft thing is a nice pool to win.
Yeah.
It's all luck. It's like a lottery.
Pretty much.
So that's it for mine, unless you got other guys you want to talk about.
Those are the four I had, too.
All right, well, let's just move on then. We want to move right into the...
top running backs?
Yeah. So okay. Tell me how you did this so that we can kind of... Like I said, I did mine. Best running back. So top 10 running backs. But since it's Super Bowl... era, I use the thing where they have to actually win or play in Super Bowl.
I have
just the best running back.
I just who I felt I believe mm-hmm. is the best running backs. I just won. That was based on the whole Wayne thing. Sorry.
All right, my number one running back. Or do you want to go through yours? Because I think I know who yours is.
You want to start at one, or you want to
go up from the bottom? You want to go 10-1?
Let's go 10-1.
All right,
that's how I have it written.
Okay, that's fine. You go with your number 10 guy first.
My 10th running back, no ties this year.
Okay.
Or this week. I went with Earl Campbell as my.
I was arguing putting him in, and he would have been my 11.
So that's not too bad then.
No, Earl Campbell's stuck.
I mean, he had 9,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I think his career got cut short by all the banging he did.
Oh, and everything was banging every time he touched a ball.
He looked for people to hit before he...
Did I look at that? Did I see that correctly? Because I was looking at his stats. Did he ever fumble? He had to have, right?
I would think.
I didn't see him as having any fumbles.
Yeah, well.
And, I don't know.
Well, I just love the guy.
My number 10 guy, Barry Sanders, Detroit Lions. Frankly, he doesn't even belong on this list, period. And neither him nor my guy at number 9.
As I was,
because I'm going over the whole, you had to play in a Super Bowl to be really considered. But like I said, I put him on there because I can only find 8 guys that actually played or won a Super Bowl that deserve to be the top 10 best running backs.
Wow.
This era.
I was looking at the top running backs of all time.
Yeah.
A lot of places had him number 1.
Well, yeah, because they're looking at the best running back of all time. So I'm talking, my criteria, you had to actually do something in the postseason, which win or play in a Super Bowl.
Okay. See, now I feel like I'm...
No, you do it your way. I mean,
okay,
it's,
all right.
My belief is he's lucky even be considered at number 10.
Okay.
As he has just as many runs for negative yards as he has for positive yards. He could never finish the job when the team got down to the end zone. Every touchdown that Barry Sanders has is from more than 5 yards away.
Right.
Because if he isn't running in from a long distance, they're bringing somebody else in.
Which actually didn't seem like it made sense to me.
Well, he was a small guy. And all the Sanders apologists call him a jitterbug running back.
Right.
And that's just basically a nice way to say he's indecisive. Can't figure out what the hell he wants to do. And when he got into the postseason and the competition got tougher, what happened? Sanders floundered and withered away to mediocre at best. Just look at that Packer game where he finished the game with negative yards.
Yeah, but that was a pretty good defense that he played against.
Yeah, but a defense that didn't even make it to the Super Bowl.
So where do you think I had Barry Sanders?
Two or three.
Three.
Okay. And even with all those negatives, he still managed to put up many exciting plays from scrimmage.
Once
tons
again.
Of rushing yards. And if he wouldn't have been such a quitter, he would have been the leading rusher of the league. Right?
Right.
Okay. Who do you have at number 9?
Number 9, I have...
You can't wait to hear mine now, can you?
I cannot wait. I have LaDainian Tomlinson.
Another guy I thought about, but not in my list.
At all?
At all.
13,000 yards, over 13,000 mm-hmm. yards rushing. Yeah.
How many Super Bowls? None.
None.
Okay. Okay. My number nine guy, Eric Dickerson, Rams. Let's face it. He would have made, if he would have made it to a Super Bowl.
He did.
He did?
Didn't he?
No.
No.
No. No.
Oh, that's right. He did.
He would have been the number two running back on this list. However, he did not. Therefore, number nine. 3,900. When I was reading his stats, because I wasn't even going to have him in my top 10 until I read over his stats. He ran for over 3,900 yards in 83 and 84 alone. And if you take any running back's best six-year stretch and put it up against Eric Dickerson's first 6 years in the league, they will never match. Eric Dickerson blows them away. And that includes a holdout for Eric in 85 and the player strike in 87.
Right.
The guy was a stud.
Looked good in goggles, that's for sure.
Yeah, the only guy that could.
Right. And he had my favorite car coming out of SMU.
The gold boosters bought him?
Yeah, the gold Trans Am. Love that car.
All right, your number eight guy.
My number eight guy, I think, yes, the only white guy on my list.
Paul Otkaruth?
No.
John Riggins.
John Riggins.
I have John Riggins.
Really? And you're...
Not a number eight. He's higher.
Wow.
I like John Riggins.
By the way, I had Eric Dickerson.
You do?
At five.
Oh, okay. So we're kind of the same.
Yeah.
My number eight, Thurman Thomas of the Buffalo Bills. Yes, he never won a Super Bowl.
Loser.
But the guy was a major contributor that led his
Did
Buffalo
Bills. Did he ever find his helmet?
Four consecutive Super Bowl appearances.
You heard that story, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thomas led the AFC in rushing in 90, 91, and 93 and won the NFL MVP in 91. He still holds, to this day, the Bills' all-time rushing record with almost 12,000 yards.
You heard the story about Thurman too, at Oklahoma State, right? What?
Then he was shared time with Barry Sanders.
Yeah, did you? What famous coach from Oklahoma?
Barry Switzer?
Yeah, did you hear what he said about?
No.
He told his team when Oklahoma was playing Oklahoma State, don't hurt Thurman Thomas, because he didn't want Barry Sanders to come in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just heard that story. I don't know if it's true or not.
How could it not be? All right, you're number seven, boy.
Seven. I went with Tony Dorsett.
It's exactly who I have at seven.
Really?
Yep, Cowboys.
Love him.
He rushed for 1,007 yards in his rookie season and won Rookie of the Year. He was the first player to win the college football championship 1 year and the Super Bowl the following year. In his second season, he rushed for 1,325 yards, leading the Cowboys to another Super Bowl, only to lose it to the Steelers. Hmm. Dorsett's most productive season was 81 when he rushed for 1,646 yards, which broke a Cowboys franchise record. We're going to have the same guys from now on.
You think so?
I don't know. Number six.
I don't think so. But number six, I have Marshall Faulk.
Oh, Franco Harris.
Where do you have Marshall?
I have Marshall Faulk coming up.
Okay.
Franco Harris of the Steelers. You have Marshall Faulk there. Again.
Was it picked Franco because of the catch?
No, okay. I have Marshall Faulk at number two. Yep.
Okay.
Franco Harris. No, I have.
No, go ahead. Start your Franco Harris.
I wasn't going to have Marshall Faulk at two, but after you start reading about his career and everything, yeah.
Oh, he was one of the best all-around.
Man.
He could do everything.
Franco Harris won Rookie of the Year in 72, a season in which he gained 1,055 yards on only 188 carries. He gained over 12,000 yards in 13 seasons. He was chosen to 9 consecutive Pro Bowls, and he won the Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl IX, and was a major contributor to the 4 total Steelers Super Bowl victories. You don't agree with that?
No.
You have him higher?
Well, I'm going to be curious on who else you have on your list.
Okay. Number 5.
I have Eric Dickerson. We already talked about that.
I have John Riggins, Redskins. Arguably one of the most physical backs in the early to mid-80s. In the postseason, Riggins alone wore down four straight opponents, the Lions, the Vikings, Cowboys, and Dolphins, to win a Super Bowl ring. In those four games alone, he averaged 34 carries per game, capping it off with a 38-carry, 166-yard performance to win Super Bowl MVP. He was faster than you would expect from a guy that looks like a slow, plodding white boy.
And the boy could drink, too.
That's the problem.
That's why I like
him. All those white running backs. Yeah. they drink like fish.
Yeah, he was a cool dude back then.
Number four.
Four. This is... I'll be shocked if you have him on your list. Mm. I don't think you do. Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen's my number four.
Really?
Raiders, yep. NFL Rookie of the Year. He broke 1,000-yard rushing mark the next 3 years. In 85, he rushed for 1,759 yards on 380 carries and was named NFL MVP. Super Bowl 18, he ran for 191 yards in a win over the Redskins that included a 74-yard touchdown run. And he won the Super Bowl MVP that year, becoming the first player ever to win the Heisman and a Super Bowl MVP.
And then got screwed when Bo Jackson came in. And
well, yeah. And
got in Al Davis's doghouse.
And, well, he, from what I was, well, he got into Al Davis's doghouse because he wouldn't give him a hometown discount or something like that. Wasn't it something to do with his contract?
Well, yeah, I suppose Al probably expected that.
For
him.
Free. I want it free.
Yeah.
Okay, you're number three.
Barry Sanders.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fair. My number three, I hated doing this.
I'm trying to think. Walter Payton.
Walter Payton, Chicago Bears.
Number two for me.
I know I'm not going to make any friends on this list, but I think the only reason why people like to call Payton the best running back is because he died.
Oh, my God.
So just saying. This goes back to my whole theory of how dead player statistics always seem to magically become better than they were.
You just never
after they tragically die.
You never cease to amaze me when you speak sometimes. Did you record that with Jared yet?
No. I mean, the views and opinions expressed here? No, not yet.
Okay. I gotta
but everything I usually read about Payton, it goes like this. He could run. He could block. He could catch. He could even throw the ball. He had longevity. Well, no crap. Who on this list doesn't do that or didn't do that? That doesn't make him the best of all time. In fact,
Barry Sanders didn't.
Well, no. In fact, he's lucky that I even have him at number three, considering he only has one Super Bowl, and to add to his amazing, in air quotes, resume. When the most impressive thing about your career stats are that you led the NFC in rushing from 76 to 80, that says a lot. Who else was there? You can start to understand why he isn't the best of all time. Like I said, he's lucky to be at number two. And we should move on before I change my mind and move him down.
Oh, God.
Number two.
You had him number three.
Yeah, who do you have at number two?
I have number two, I have Walter Payton.
Oh. We're and close.
I was in him.
You're one of those. Oh, he died. He's amazing. Junior Seau. Best linebacker of all time.
No, Lawrence Taylor is the best linebacker of all time.
My number two guy, Marshall Faulk of the Rams. I was going to put Walter Payton here, but then I looked over at stats for both of them. And when Faulk was in his prime, he had no rival. And that was during a time and when he played with the likes of Peyton Manning, or Walter Payton. He won a league MVP, a Super Bowl, and was easily the premier player in all of pro football during his career. And that was during a time when Walter Payton was playing. Now, Walter Payton died and magically became better than all those guys.
Walter Payton was a leading rusher in the NFL for a long time.
But he's not anymore.
But Marshall Faulk is nowhere near...
The yards?
The yards.
But he had better career.
How many Super Bowls?
Let me tell you something.
How many Super Bowls did Marshall Faulk win?
One.
Okay. Walter Payton won one.
Yeah. Walter Payton had a much better team. He did. Defense was amazing. The defense won that game. They got lucky that they were playing against the Patriots.
What was the name of the
Greatest show on turf.
Right.
Yes.
So shouldn't greatest he have been, show on turf shouldn't because, he have been better then?
Well, they couldn't fit the rest of it on the t-shirt. The greatest show on turf because of Marshall Faulk.
Okay.
Right? And a grocery bagger. Right?
I just don't know how you can pick Marshall Faulk above Walter Payton.
Oh, he's much better. And your number one guy?
Unfortunately, I went with your guy.
Emmitt Smith?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. I'm surprised you didn't try and put Jim Brown in there.
Well, you said Super Bowl era.
I know. I was wondering why. Like, oh, that's right. He never played during the Super Bowl.
Never played during the Super Bowl.
Emmitt Smith.
If you won, I would say he's the best running back of all time if you went.
Yeah, well, that's insane. I truly believe people do not give Emmitt Smith enough credit for his accomplishments. You agree?
I think he gets all the credit for it.
They continue to blurt out Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, Jim Brown, blah, blah, blah. Anytime you talk to them about the best running backs of all time, I come back with one fact that I can turn into many more points that beat out every name ever mentioned. He is the leading rusher in the NFL of all time.
Yep.
Tired of hearing how Smith's offensive line was so amazing. The truth is that he was only good for about his first 6 years. That offensive line was only good for about Emmitt Smith's first 6 years.
Oh, come on.
He played 9 more seasons after that. 9 more. 15 years. He averaged 1,200 yards per season from 96
he played
to 2001.
Years, let's say 13 years, quality years.
You pick and choose the numbers you want. He averaged 1,200 yards per season from 96 to 2001, despite running behind an O-line that would be considered below average at best during those years. He has 3 Super Bowl rings and won the Super Bowl 28 MVP. Number one running back.
I mean...
Super Bowl era.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl era.
And of all time.
Okay, no, Super Bowl era.
Until somebody else beats his stats, which no one has. Jim Brown, run out of bounds every time somebody looks at him cross-eyed. Please. I don't know how you seriously sit there and call him the best.
It's pretty easy because I think his numbers
are not right. as good as Emmitt.
He's a quitter. I forgot.
He's a quitter.
Yeah, just
quitter
like,
and an out of bounds runner.
But only played in only played. Did they only play 12 games?
Irrelevant. He should have crushed because the players weren't that good back then. They were not the players that they have going now.
Okay.
Came down. I'm telling you something. If we had a fantasy draft and you could draft those players, give me Emmitt Smith every day.
Well,
over Jim Brown.
No, there's no way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
let's do
and Emmitt Smith doesn't. Emmitt Smith doesn't wear that stupid little crocheted beanie that Jim Brown always wears.
Emmitt Smith would be. I only picked Emmitt Smith one because of the Super Bowls.
Really?
But if you're not basing just on if you're basing on his talent, it'd be Jim Brown, Walter Payton.
Lord help me. What schedule do you want to go over?
Let's go over the Packers schedule.
We did. Oh, you mean the whole schedule?
Yeah. I want us to pick our wins list.
We're gonna do the thing I hate the most on all these. Okay, go yeah. for it. All right.
You don't want to do it?
Jacksonville.
Yep.
Win.
Okay, I got to write this stuff
and
down.
And let me know if it's in or at home.
Okay, that one was away.
Okay, so it's in Jacksonville. Give me a win.
Okay. Vikings at Minnesota.
At Minnesota, win.
All right. Okay. Jacksonville, loss.
You're going to say loss?
Yep.
Wow.
I'm going to say loss at the Vikings.
Wow.
And you said win.
Yes.
At home against the Lions.
Win.
I would agree. At home against the Giants after the bye week.
After the bye week? Aren't the Giants playing in... who do Giants... Don't they play in England that week before?
I don't know. I don't have that in front of me here.
Just Giants. Oh, just pick it. I'll go loss.
Okay. At home against the Cowboys.
Win.
I would agree.
Because Tony Romo should have another busted shoulder by then.
Oh, don't say that. Wayne, you didn't hear that.
Des Bryant.
Des Bryant. For love of it.
Okay, leave next.
Okay, sorry. Home against the Bears.
Win.
I would agree. At Atlanta.
Oh, at Atlanta.
Cool.
Win.
Okay, that's what I had to do. So right now,
I'm with one loss.
And I have two.
Okay.
Okay, home against the Colts.
Ooh. Home against the Colts. Win.
I have a loss. Ooh, here we go.
Okay.
We're going to see your loyalty here.
Okay.
At Tennessee.
They're going to win.
I would agree. Even though, but Mariota's going to be a stud.
Mariota will be amazing, and it's going to be close.
Okay.
They'll win it in overtime.
Okay, at Washington.
At Washington, I'm going to say loss.
I say win.
Okay.
At Philadelphia.
Win.
Win. Home against the Texans.
Ooh. Home against the Texans, win.
That's what I would say. You're not scared about Brock Osweiler?
No.
Okay.
Other than the fact that he can stand above everybody because he's 7'3".
Okay. Home against the Seahawks.
That's going to be tough, but I'm going to say win.
I have it as a loss.
Okay.
At Chicago.
Win.
Win. Home against the Vikings.
Win.
Win. At Detroit.
Win.
I would agree.
14-2. Super Bowl.
My Lord.
Well, you don't think that's legit?
Well,
you have 13-3, right?
No, 12-4.
12-4? I would take that. 14-2.
Are we going to do a rainbow bet on this?
You want to?
Oh, that was fun.
Okay. Well,
you do realize, like, the one game they're probably going to lose is going to be Tennessee because that's the Packers. The team they're supposed to crush, they're going to lose to.
You think so? Well, they have the easiest schedule this year.
All right, let's go to my girls. Do I get pictures?
Well, it's going to be tough with the computer.
Okay.
Do you want pictures?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Am I going to recognize this girl?
It depends what shows you watch.
Okay.
Let's go to the club music, and we'll get into it. And we're back. Ready?
Okay, I'm totally ready.
We're thanking Wayne for this suggestion.
You can thank Wayne.
Okay, settle down. I'm sure you'll get a deal done with him.
Yeah.
Fantasy Girl of the Week, people. It's that time. Our man time of the week of the podcast. Check her out on mycffl.com, the Fantasy Girl of the Week section on the website. This week, thanks to Wayne of the Chopier Snappers, we have...
Is she over 40?
No.
30. Okay.
We have Priyanka Chopra.
Excuse me?
She was born July 18th, 1982. She's an Indian actress, singer, producer, and philanthropist, and the winner of the Miss World pageant of 2000. She's one of Bollywood's highest paid actresses and most popular and high profile celebrities in India. Doesn't take much.
I see.
I was going to ask you her measurements, but since you can't look at pictures, you know, because of the setup here, we'll save that for next time. But 35, 24, 34. She is on the TV show right now called Quantico.
Quantico. Oh, I saw highlights of that the other when I was trying to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. In addition to her acting career, Chopra is noted for her philanthropic work and was appointed as a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador for Child Rights, blah, 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 2010. She promotes various causes such as the environment. Yeah, you live in India. Don't talk to me about the environment. Health and education, women empowerment and women's rights. Women's rights.
There we go.
Let them vote and right away. And is particularly vocal about gender equality and gender pay inequality. Do the same thing men do, you get paid the same.
The views expressed.
Though she is reticent to discuss her personal life in public, her off-screen life is the subject of substantial media coverage. And as a singer, she has released 3 singles. Her main vocal influence was her father.
She can sing, too.
She can sing, apparently. I haven't heard her song yet, but her vocal influence was her father, who she said was an incredible singer and helped develop her interest in singing. In July of 2013, Chopra released her single, Exotic, featuring American rapper, which one?
No idea.
Pitbull.
Oh. He's tops on my list.
So there it is, Priyanka Chopra.
Thank you, Wayne.
And as they say in New Delhi,
goodbye.
You come again, okay? Oh, wait, how's it go?
No.
Thank you, come again. She's a good singer.
Let's go.
Check out the website, mycfl.com. Everything. The top 10 Super Bowl era running backs.
You make me so uncomfortable.
I have, like I said, I have the Ray Lewis video up there. 8 minutes of just head tilted and mouth agape, trying to figure out what the hell is he saying. But it's all there.
Okay.
Emails, questions, comments, concerns. Always remember, cffl commissioner@zoho.com, or you can get Dan at
strap1971@yahoo.com.
And remember, 2 weeks from now, NFL draft. We probably won't have another podcast before then. Yeah, we'll be at the draft. Remember, Hooters in Brookfield. Be there. It'll be a blast.
It's going to be a good time.
Until then, be good.
Bye-bye.